Welcome back to Redefining AI, the show that uncovers the nuances of artificial intelligence, exploring its impact and evolution across industries. Now, today we dive deep into the realm of generative AI, an arena where innovation meets data, privacy concerns, and the quest for security. Now, our journey today, it revolves around a fascinating survey, the state of generative AI, that was conducted by Portal 26 in partnership with Census White. Now, Portal 26 polled 400 plus C-suite and IT professionals about the state of generative AI. Its results we see depict an environment in which companies are optimistic about the potential of generative AI, yet struggle to gain visibility into the operations of their AI programs, creating significant risks around governance, data security, and more. So I'm really excited to unravel this intricate web of challenges, advancements, and the pivotal role of education in navigating the uncharted territory of generative AI. Now, as we know in Redefining AI, we like to ensure that we do have appropriate thought leaders and experts to explore this particular topic. So I've been joined by Aarti Raman and Neil Cohen. So welcome, Aarti, and welcome, Neil.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited to be part of this conversation and share both information about our survey, but also talk about generative AI and our role over there. My name is Aarti Raman. I'm one of the founders and CEO here. I have a background in mathematics and security, and now I've been spending a lot of time on generative AI itself.
Yeah, and thanks for having us, Lauren. Excited to talk to you about the results of the survey and what's going on in this crazy generative AI realm.
Definitely. So I'd maybe say, Neil, do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself, where you come from as well? Are you also involved in math security? Do you work with Aarti on a regular basis? What's your relationship?
My relationship, I'm head of go-to-market strategy at Portal 26, working with Aarti. And I've been working in technology companies in a marketing and sales leadership role for probably over 30 years.
Wow. Yeah, long time. So you're definitely an expert in that sense. So it's really great to have both of you here today. Hopefully we can explore different angles. We've got the security aspect, obviously both focused on generative AI, and especially from the angle of the go-to-market component that you're addressing as well, Neil. You're both involved heavily in the survey, and I think it is a good place to start, really. Why did you choose to conduct this survey, and what do you want people to do with the information that you've collected? I'd say maybe primarily, Aarti, this would go to you, I imagine.
Yeah, no, thank you. So we have found that there is a lot of activity and conversation around AI, obviously, for the last year. And we thought it's important as people try to figure out their strategy for AI in general and generative AI in particular, that they get a good sense of, you know, where their peers are and where the industry is and how to separate, you know, hype from spend and exploration from actual action. And so we thought as our role in helping organization adopt AI fearlessly, and that's kind of what our platform is all about, this is a good starting point. Like, let's know actually what is happening in the industry. And then the other thing we thought was, you know, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there, you know, and it's early days. So why don't we actually create a statistically significant report? We could talk to enough companies, ask, you know, wide variety of questions. And this helps obviously us inform our strategy, but also helps customers and enterprises in general inform their strategy as well. So that was our thought. And, you know, how else to be relevant than provide good quality information? And so Neil undertook this wonderful and interesting project on our behalf.
Excellent. So, I mean, you've touched upon a lot of components that I'd like to explore a little bit more in detail. In terms of looking at the analysis and the comparative of the participants that participated in the study, but obviously the wider ecosystem, are they able to judge, because you also mentioned that this is a very sort of new scenario, especially when we're talking about generative AI. No one's really, I would say, 100% sure of where their peers are. And there is still that hype versus maybe what they want to spend going into 2024. Do you think that you have been able to provide that information that people can now access the survey and they can really say, well, you know, my peers are there. And statistically representative, was it a global survey that you conducted? Was it primarily focused on America? Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the intrinsic of the demographics that were analyzed. I think that would go to you, Neil.
Well, gosh, a lot to unpack there. So the 400 was across countries. It wasn't all U.S. It was, and I think what we learned is that everybody is very ambitious in wanting to explore generative AI. You know, we had, you know, overwhelming people understanding of what it can do for them as far as provide a competitive advantage, and overwhelming numbers, you know, that people have invested some money or will invest more money in the coming year. But it was coupled with, you know, I call it the yin and yang, you know, the hopes, but the fears. You know, there's a long list of things that people are fearing with it and don't know and understand. And so, you know, in looking at it and how that breaks down, you know, even at its nascent stages and its early stages, 73% of the companies had a misuse incident with their new programs. And so people are feeling around. So it was the first time we were able to go out there and get information and say, you know, did you have, you hear something bad can happen. Did something bad happen? Absolutely. And so people are more cognizant, aware of where the problems might be. And I think that was one of the biggest discoveries of the survey itself, that so many people have had a negative or misuse incident happen with their programs.
And is that why, because you also mentioned, Arti, in the introductory question, that you're on a mission to help people adopt AI fearlessly. Does this mission come from the results that came out of the survey, or where does this mission come from?
Well, so the purpose behind our company and our platform around generative AI is actually to create sufficient in-depth visibility as a starting point, so you know what's going on with your generative AI program, and you can like start double-clicking into who's using it, what they're using it for, what types of problems they're trying to solve, are they being effective, you know, how many tries is it taking for them to actually, you know, get AI to do what they need, where do they need training, are they using it, you know, for something bad like data exfiltration, creating content that might be harmful. So all of this visibility from an organizational standpoint, from our perspective, helps organizations, you know, create guardrails and create understanding and create training and create policy, as well as, you know, track and trend, you know, the return on their AI investment. So we think that without visibility, without knowing, you cannot secure, you cannot create guardrails if things are happening in the shadows. So that was kind of where we started. And when we started, for us, this was more of a hypothesis, right? Anecdotally, it was a hypothesis. And we wanted to put a lot of weight behind that investment in our companies. And we wanted to take those, you know, 2 or 3 or, you know, 20 or 30 in our case, anecdotes and conversations we had with customers into something that we could measure and we could go and, you know, communicate against. So it was a little bit of both. We had, you know, we were well on our way when we commissioned the survey, but we wanted to take that and just basically, you know, drive it in with the survey. And if we had found something in the survey that told us that our hypothesis was inaccurate or it needed to be refined, you know, Neil has this charter of, you know, making good on that. But I'll let Neil comment. But, you know, in my opinion, it came back overwhelmingly supportive of our ideas.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to comment on that further, Neil?
Yeah, well, to Artie's point, we had a lot of conversations where we got a lot of anecdotal information about what their struggles were. And certainly you can try to like extrapolate out that to the larger population, but you really don't know, especially when you start looking at different verticals, you know, what and different industries and that type of thing, or maybe size of the organizations. And it was amazing how consistent it was for what we heard like firsthand about how they were trying to get their programs off the ground and what the challenges and difficulties were. I think, you know, more surprises came in, or maybe it's not, maybe we should have known, is that the larger the organizations, the more acute the problems were. So when you started getting up into the 5,000 plus and 10,000 plus, the numbers really started skewing higher. just like in cybersecurity, you know, where your assets are your biggest risk, your people, right? You know, that walk in and out of the door still to this very day. The same with generative AI. There's such a human element as far as how they're going to use, people in your organization are going to use the product. And the fact that you're going to be training models, you're going to be taking, you know, proprietary data or intellectual property and maybe putting it into these models to help you be more productive and do work. It unleashes so many new threat surfaces and challenges that are not the same as traditional cybersecurity. And so the worry level from the CISO, CTO, C-suite for what the negative outcomes could be was much higher in the 10,000 plus organizations. Matter of fact, 100% were top two boxes, like, you know, agree and strongly agree that they're going to have data breaches or shadow AI or some of these other things that are negative to the outcome of what generative AI is all about.
I was going to add a little bit of color. So just to give you a sense of the cascading sets of concerns, right? So the first question, or at least a thought in our minds was, you know, in how many places is the door closed? How many places is the door open, right? Like, and if they have opened the door, if they haven't opened the door, why is that? And so, you know, those are the sorts of answers we were getting, all these concerns around risk and privacy and security. And then if the door is open, are they able to answer questions? You know, what's going on with the program? And all of that was very much echoing the anecdotes that we got, you know, when we sort of started on this mission. Would you agree, Neil?
I would agree 100%. And we already know through some of our customers that we've already onboarded that they instantly, and when I say instantly, because we can get up and running fairly quickly, discovered breaches that were unknown just right off the bat. And so you can talk about it in theory, you can talk about it in research, but then you apply the product and the proof of concept is right there in front of them.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, there's sort of three questions that I want to follow up with. I think the first one that I would start with is, you know, your solution at the moment, it integrates, from what I've understood, security and transparency concerning AI. And then it would be, you know, are you able to elaborate on how this platform could or would effectively address the inherent security risks associated with generative AI so that you can ensure this compliance and that you can mitigate the potential for data loss, et cetera?
Absolutely. So we think there are three different sets of analytics that supports how people should make informed adoption decisions. So the first one is usage. How is it being used? And when you're using it, is there anything bad happening? So when you combine inline controls, right? You know, am I going to let this session go through? Am I going to let this person talk to, you know, an external AI or not, or internal, what have you? You can basically have a look at what problem are they solving? Is it personal? Is it business? You know, if it's business, you know, are they doing anything dangerous? Are they sending data out that they shouldn't have? They taken production code and put it into an external AI, right? So you start with that visibility and you can complement that in real time with rules. And you can say, oh, I detect code and I'm able to match it, you know, to a production repository. I will not let this happen, right? So you can do things like that. And this is still bread and butter. You know, every DLP wants to do this, and we are not alone. There's many, we partner and there are others. But then the question is, you know, did your DLP miss something? Because the question of what is sensitive has become really amorphous, right? Like you could have intellectual property that's going out the door that you cannot catch with a, you know, inline DLP rule that you execute in a nanosecond, right? Yeah. So we are complementing that with analytics out of band, but real time, and then informing those DLP. So that's one thing. Another thing we do in that same first vein is policy, risk assessment and policy. So when somebody goes out to an AI, you can actually trigger education right there. Hey, you know, you're about to go and do this with this AI. You should know this is kind of what we allow. This is what we don't allow. Or if you did something bad, hey, you know, it's just a warning, you know, don't do that again. So that type of thing, policy management, risk management, et cetera. And all of this is for downside protection, right? And it goes from there, incident management and et cetera. The second threat is, we believe it's for the upside. to understand what kinds of problems people are trying to solve so that you can design a business process that leverages AI really well. So for example, right, the system will tell you marketing, you can look at by department. Marketing is using AI to do this kind of problem. By the way, right, you know, 60, 70% productivity increases are coming from doing this. Oh, well, this department over here is not doing that, right? We should kind of apply AI here, or you can learn from the nuances of who's using it and how. And then the third, which is a customer-driven feature that we are putting in, is around optimizing cost, right? If I am purchasing 3,000 licenses for this, you know, private AI, where is it being used? Who should use it? What should they use it for? Do I really want people just, you know, burning 2,000 of those, drawing pictures? Maybe not, right? So that kind of optimization can happen as well. It was a long answer to your question, but does it
answer the question, but it also leads to so many other questions. No, it's great input. You know, it's a lot as well, trying to sort of categorize those three different analyticals in the disparate sort of avenues that are consequential of that. If you look at as well, like decision makers within the organizations, I mean, some of the C-suites that were obviously involved in the survey, there's almost, you could probably say, like this, like competence analytical assessment of, are organizations generative AI ready? Or are they generative AI ready enough at this point?
Well, you know, I'll start off by just saying that when you look at some of the biggest issues that were challenging the people in the survey, education, employee education and training was a big component of their fear, that people didn't understand how to use the prompts and do prompts correctly, that people didn't understand the risks of generative AI. And what was interesting is that a large number, when you asked how much training are you giving to your employees, over 80% was 5 hours or less. So, you know, if you're giving, you're training people just 5 hours or less, you know, we kind of think about this moment, you know, if you go back to the early 80s when you went from, you know, to desktop computers, you know, imagine just telling your employees, we're just going to give you 5 hours of training on that. And then good luck, you know, how that would have worked out at the time. And especially in areas where it can be completely transformative. Like if you were an accountant and you didn't learn how to use Lotus 1-2-3, you probably went out of business. So it's so important that people just know the difference of what they're working with and how they're working with it, because of the nature of generative AI itself and what the risks are. And they're so different, but yet they also need to know it to move ahead in their career.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think it's something that Artie mentioned previously in the conversation as well. Like you've got this interplay between the fear-driven responses, but you've also got, you know, the interplay of the fear-driven responses and the productivity gains. And this is quite intriguing in itself. How do you see the evolution of the mindset towards generative AI? And you mentioned like from initial apprehension to the current focus on productivity, because there's more narratives that are generated towards, you know, the productivity gains of implementing generative AI. And if we interlink that into what we're talking about just now and the role that education plays, is education alone what will encourage a paradigm shift, or is it like evangelism? Like, what do you think is necessary there?
So I have a pretty specific view on this. I think that generative AI, like any other enterprise application in terms of productivity, is going to just basically find a home, right? Like you are going to use it much like you use a calendar, much like you use, you know, any other, you know, you use a notes app. You're just going to use this thing. The difference between this type of technology and everything else at the moment is lack of instrumentation. Like we monitor everything. We monitor the heck out of like all of our applications. That's what observability is all about, right? And so we think, and this is kind of what our system does, it instruments your generative AI use and it adds it to your security stack. So you can monitor, you can track and trend, you can audit, you can, you know, go back and do analytics later. And I think that's kind of step one, in my opinion. It's foundational for adoption, because once you have, you know, observability and monitoring and instrumentation, then you can get to this comfort level and say, okay, well, what's our policy? You know, everything else follows. So I think everything you said stands, whether it's education, evangelism, you know, training and building programs, et cetera. But I think instrumentation is key. Not a lot of people are talking about it. We're talking about it, but, you know, we see that as like ground state for adoption. And that's kind of my view on that.
The counter question then, just to it's an important point. Why are they not talking about it then? I mean, you mentioned you're talking about it, but why are others not talking about it?
Well, so I think that the frontier is moving so fast and it's so broad that people are finding their niches and mm-hmm. their stories, and this is ours. So I don't think that, you know, right now we have a huge head start, but I think, you know, it will follow. But basically, I think that the opportunities are exploding right now and everyone's finding something to talk about. So I think we're ahead. I don't think we will be the only ones, frankly.
Yeah. I would also add, like, you know, we learned from talking to people. The first thing, there are two things that most companies did around it. They either blocked it, which mm-hmm. everybody did initially, and then suddenly it was like, wait, like, let's not do that because somebody's going to get competitive advantage. But then they said, okay, we're going to adapt it. We're going to send out some guidelines and rules. And so these emails go out, and we had this anecdotal, but it also came back in the survey where they did some form of, and I'm doing air quotes, governance, but with not a lot of enforcement, with not a lot of measurement of the policy. So, you know, so people understand, but it's like, you know, if you got that policy and say like, okay, you can't do this on your work computer, but it's helping you get something done, you'll go home, you know, pull that data out of the corporate, you know, go home, work on your personal computer in ChatGPT or whatever it is that you wanted to get your work done faster, and then come back and bring it back. So, you know, those kind of loose policies and emails that go out, like, it's a nice, you know, it's where everybody first went, but there's nothing enforceable about those things, and nothing measurable or easier to monitor, and no training attached to it, like Artie was saying. So having this kind of infrastructure in place is definitely something that's foundational for everybody. I would also say one more thing, you know, around, you know, training is, you know, clearly everybody in the world is much more savvy digitally than we were, you know, 40 plus years ago when the desktop appeared. We didn't know anything to do, and everybody is much more experienced, but our experience is based on what we see and what we know, and we're used to search box. And so when people see ChatGPT and a lot of these products where you have this prompt box, they look at it like search. And search and generative AI are two completely different functions and things. So what you have is a confirmational bias about how you go about and use that product. And so one of the big parts about training and monitoring and measuring and having governance is it helps people kind of understand the difference between what that prompt box is and what they're used to, which is, you know, searching by intent.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, it was a point that I was going to make as well. Sometimes it's a hindrance rather than a help, isn't it? If you have this, like, you know, this bias that you're used to accessing information in a certain way, you're searching with a query rather than with the prompt component. So, you know, it is about being able to change your habitual actions when looking for information in one sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to add a little bit of color to the question you asked prior, which is why are you talking about it and why aren't others? One thing that did occur to us is that generative AI is very tightly linked with employee behavior at the moment, right? People are doing things inside companies that are either helping their work or not. And in order to capture all that activity, report on it, analyze it, you have a little bit of, you know, a line, a privacy line that you might be crossing. And this comes up in like the first conversation we ever have with a company. And nobody wants to cross that line and have that much of a big brother, you know, approach. And our DNA is actually data security. It's encrypted analytics, right? We are able to process data without looking at it. It's completely lights out. And I think that is one really strong reason why we are the ones out there talking about this. And, you know, it doesn't come up in the rest of our generative AI conversation, but in practically taking this to market and giving people the ability to both keep this historically, use it for forensics, use it for strategy, use it for training. You need to have the company's trust that they can actually give you all of this data to do all of this analytics, right? Because we just get so much information flowing through our systems. So that's something I wanted to throw out there because, you know, there is a bit of a barrier there to get their trust. But on the other hand, the analytics is so valuable and you don't actually get to look at it unless something is wrong. And being able to support that kind of, you know, secure stack is also pretty important.
No, very much so. I mean, I'd say that as you've obviously mentioned, like the genesis of your enterprise, it was rooted or is rooted in data security and encryption. And I do think that that's a pivotal component of the challenges that are presented by generative AI. I mean, it's all, you know, access control listings, everything. I mean, it's, you know, it must be there. It has to be there. There's a lot of conversation around ensuring privacy and security.
Correct.
So it has been fascinating conversation. I am more than 100% convinced that the listeners are going to really enjoy what we've presented with them today. Do you have anything that you would like to add before we part ways?
Well, I would encourage our listeners, if they haven't already adopted AI, that even while a lot of companies are thinking how to build and how to train, we strongly encourage opening the doors for your employees because it is game-changing from a competitive standpoint. And when you do that, we strongly encourage to come have a look at us. We are at portal26.ai and our technology is highly accessible. You know, it isn't prohibitive either to deploy or use. You can get up and running in like, you know, 30 minutes. So we very much encourage that. And, you know, I wouldn't be a founder if I didn't make a pitch for people to come have a look at us. So I would do that.
That Neil, is very true.
Yes. Neil, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Hard to beat that. Look, you know, 2 years from now, a lot of this conversation will be less relevant, you know, because it's going to be massive adoption fast. This isn't, I will tell your listeners, this isn't hype. You know, this isn't, you know, the metaverse, blockchain, crypto, you know, moment.
Although crypto's on the up, so.
Nice
little
run.
It's going to half quite soon, yeah.
Yeah, my one ETH is up. But this is a moment in time, one of those rare moments in time where you have a transformational technology, and you know it's not hype, it's real, and the sooner you get experience with it, the sooner you'll be able to move ahead of your competitors.
Oh, Neil, I have something on your behalf to say to the listeners, which is that Neil has contributed our survey to the community. It is open, so if you go to our website, you can not only look at reports and results, all of the questions, the underlying raw data, the cross tabs, everything is there. So you can sift and sort, and it's still there, right, Neil?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Easy to find. Yeah.
Yes, I'd encourage everyone listening today to check it out, to go to portal26.ai. You can access, as Artie's mentioned, the free report and have a look at the questions that were contained within the survey as well as the statistics. So I'd like to thank you for listening today. And if you would like to recommend this episode to a friend, then do so. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.